Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm not done yawning. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me is the guy who just happens to be wearing his $189,000 watch like Odell Beckham Jr. That would be Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something hopefully popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. In the middle of that.
Dan, man, the three.
All right. So, you know, Dan, I'm under the impression that something happens to players when they become NFL wide receivers. You know, we played out all the drama with Antonio, all his BS. And then on Sunday, for whatever reason, Odell Beckham Jr. wore his watch during the game. And, you know, first reports I had heard it was $250,000 or $350,000 watch. He came out today and said it's plastic and $159,000. Okay, I don't know why you would want to wear that kind of watch in a game, because, you know, most people can't, you know, to buy a house for that money. And B, why is he making such a big deal, Dan, that the NFL doesn't want him to wear it? He's already said today that he's going to continue to wear it, even though they told him he can't, because you're not supposed to wear anything that has sharp objects, is a sharp object.
No, God. I mean,
it sounds like
Cleveland.
You know, literally, it just sounds like they're fighting with a little kid. I mean, can you explain this? What is this guy's problem? I mean, just take the damn thing off. Oh, there you go. You were gone for a minute. Are you back now? Did you mute yourself?
No, I just disappeared because I didn't hear anything you said either.
No. So, yeah, explain this one to me, Dan. I don't get this at all. I mean, this makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Isn't this when you go from rags to riches to complete idiotism?
I guess, because, I mean, I'm trying to think, and I mean, I don't think I've ever owned a watch that cost more than like $18.90. So I can't fathom the idea of paying $189,000 for a watch. I mean, I know our rich friend, Mr. Fantasy, did buy a $3,000 watch, and I thought he was nuts. So to drop, you know, almost $190,000 on a watch is just insane to me. And then, you know, to wear it someplace where, you know, you've got to assume that down the line here it's going to get broken. I mean, football is a contact sport. I mean, even as a wide receiver, he's going to take contact. You know, and I get that, you know, $189,000 to a guy like Odell Beckham is like $10 to me, and he can just walk in and, you know, buy probably 10 of these watches if he wanted to. But I don't know. I mean, the more I just think about it, it's literally like I'm having the dumbest argument in the world right now, aren't I?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, You know, this is, you know, I mean, this is almost as bad as the Antonio Brown helmet thing. You know, here's an idiot who wanted to wear a helmet that wouldn't protect him, you know, in a game that's had nothing but bad press about concussions, you know, CTE and all the stuff guys suffer after their careers. You know, this moron wants to wear a 10-year-old helmet that won't offer him any protection. Now you got this D-bag who doesn't want to take a watch off. I mean, you know, Dan, the only thing I can come up with here at this point is he just headline grabbing? Is he trying to stay in the paper?
Pretty much. I mean, look what happened to the team.
Yeah, I mean, the team's...
You know, it's hard to really judge any team, you know, via if it's the Browns or the Bears with their first week, because, I mean, you and I have talked about it all year or all offseason and pretty much all last year. You know, what do you expect from a team where none of the starters do anything?
Yeah.
But no contact, no pad, practice. Practice doesn't always make perfect, especially when you have four practice games that, you know, what did Mitchell, three plays where he handed the ball off three times?
Yes. But,
I
you
mean,
know, but Aaron didn't play in his preseason, so.
Yeah, and I drafted Baker Mayfield and my work league, and you know how that went.
You have a work league? No.
Yeah, they got me in it.
Is it for money?
No.
Oh, damn. So you used your expertise to win money from them.
Yeah, sadly, it's an ESPN league. You know how I feel about those. And,
oh yeah, how's the done the football? How is it compared to the baseball?
So far, it's a little better, but I don't know. I mean, I was already crushed by 50 some points. So,
good Lord, I don't feel bad, Mr. And I got our butt kicked in the money league because we, you know, we drafted Ezekiel Elliott and we kind of figured it would take him a week to get going. So we've got to make up, you know, the problem we had this week. But, yeah, getting back to Beckham, he did have seven catches on Sunday, but nothing down the field. He only had 71 yards. So while he was the team leader in receptions and yards, 71 is in what kind of picture Odell Beckham Jr. to get. And, yeah, you know, I keep hearing about this, and it's like – you know, he wore his watch, and I kept thinking about was, well, God, stupid. But you know, he came out today and said that he plans on continuing to wear it. So my guess is now he just gets fined, right?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, let's look at it from the player's stand. If you're a defensive guy, what are you trying to do?
Take his watch off.
Exactly. And break it.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, so if I'm the defensive coach, or, you know, if you run it down the line, if I'm the safety coach and I'm going up against, you know, the Browns and Odell Beckham, I'm telling my guys, go after that watch.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of completely baffled on why you're even wearing it. I mean, it just seems, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, I mean, it's stupid. So.
Well, I mean, what do you expect for a guy who signed with Cleveland?
Well, he was traded there, to be fair. He didn't sign.
Oh, you got me there. But I was wrong. I actually drafted Mayfield right? Baker Mayfield, yeah. In one of our leagues. And he killed me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I have him in any league. We didn't end up with him. He went a lot earlier than I think I expected him to go. So.
Yeah, but speaking of so going into fantasy, I just wanted to kind of, you know, we have two leagues for us. My biggest disappointment, of course, was starting Cam Newton. It was that three times. But he still threw 239 yards. So he only got me a point, but I still dominated my opponent. You know, one of the guys I went after was Marlon Mack for Indianapolis. I kind of figured that, and I hope this plays out a little bit more throughout the season, but I kind of figured with Andrew Luck retiring that maybe they would go just step up a little bit to the run game, which that panned out for me pretty well. But that was pretty much the highlight of my my offense. And then I had a Marquise Brown from Baltimore, who was just kind of a guy, a throwaway, and I just drafted because I needed a receiver. So, you know, those are kind of the guys I got lucky with. I was able to land DeAndre Hopkins, so he scored me some major points last night. And then, you know, go figure, I was able to get Marlon Mack in this league too, along with Derrick Henry. So I didn't know that he would, you know, be running. I didn't know what the situation with Mariota was going to be, but I wish I had started Mariota over the other quarterback I started, Baker. So, but, you know, one of my surprises was my flex, and that was John Ross III, because I know nothing about him whatsoever, or the Bengals. I was just trying to fill my roster with Jack, and he grabbed 35, almost 36 points. So kind of a crazy week for me. I hope it continues, and I get that lucky next week.
Yeah, no, I had a I managed to pull out wins in, you know, in both leagues. The one was the auction league was really close, but the other one I think I won by, I don't know, it was 50 points or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, that team did you know, that team came off really, or actually no, I think it was the auction league I won. I don't even remember what it is anymore, but one team had a big win, he did. You know, I had Austin Eckler. You know, I picked him up because obviously Melvin Gordon wasn't going to play, and he had a three touchdown week, so that helped me out. But yeah, disappointingly, I took Dante Pettis because I keep thinking I'm the guy who's dumb enough to keep thinking the 49ers offense is going to do something, and for whatever reason, it just never does. So I don't know. I grabbed Golden Tate and I put him on my bench. I've got to wait three more weeks for him. So hopefully I can hold out that long without it costing me any games. But yeah, it's just kind of frustrating. Oddly, I think in the other league I have a 49er receiver that I grabbed late, Richie James, that I just threw on my bench as a backup, and he caught a touchdown pass. So I got one 49er receiver that did something, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's 1 week. It's mixed to win both games, and you know, we'll see how it goes from here. Hopefully, I can continue to roll on. I know in the one league I did grab Tariq Cohen. And oddly, he didn't run the ball one time. So I was like, well, okay, at least he caught some passes. But you know, if that's going to continue, I may be stuck with a rough year there, because I was kind of counting on him to be big for me. And you know, if they're going to treat him like that, I don't know how it's going to go down.
Yeah, I know. I got some flack from some people for taking the suspended Kareem Hunt, but
yeah,
especially since there's no, you know, Yahoo's afraid to add a suspended slot, so you have to stick it on your roster.
So, no, well, you know, I mean, no matter what they say, I mean, the guy got picked in every league. You know, it's not like you were the only guy who picked him. So, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, that's one of those things, you know, people like to get on their self-righteous horse and stuff. But, yeah, you know, I mean, if you go through every league, there's somebody who, there's a team in every league that picked Kareem Hunt. You know, he's on a team in every fantasy league. Unless, of course, it's like, you know, a 6 or 8 team league where, you know, he's just hanging out there on the waiver wire waiting to get activated, and then somebody will pick him up.
Yeah, but, you know, jumping off of fantasy, sticking with the NFL, you know, before I get into your take on the league, I do have to say my brother-in-law invited us to the White Sox game, and I'm like, go figure. So one Sunday we're going to get a Vikings game, and I'm not there. So, that kind of sucked. It was a good game going to the Sox. I've got to go to more Cubs games because my daughter's starting to know who the Sox are. So, So, you know, that goes. But, you know, I just found it funny that Monday morning and, you know, throughout my Facebook and social media, you know, like we said, it's 1 week. And these guys haven't played since they lost in the playoffs in, what, January? So, but... you know, I kind of chronicled it that, you know, Mitchell was the worst draft pick ever in Chicago. Then Mike Glennon was, you know, the worst thing. So, you know, Mitch was the savior. Last year he was the Hall of Famer. And after week one, now he's trash and should be traded, and the Bears should have took Mahomes.
Yeah, well, they should have. That's obviously the obvious question there, the answer there. But don't forget that, you know, good old Kevin White was a number 6 pick in the draft. So, you know, as rough as Trubisky's look, he's got a ways to go to be as bad as Kevin White was. But, yeah, you know, and I think part of it, and maybe I don't know if you agree with this or not, you know, we wait so long for football to come around, and then when the team doesn't do well, it's just automatically a gigantic overreaction, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because I don't know what game everyone was watching, but, I mean, did either offense really look that good? You know, how were they able to score because of punts and good field position off the punt?
You know, because, you know, I mean, yeah, because you can go, I mean, like, you know, we talked a little bit about Cleveland. They didn't look very good. Obviously, you know, the Bears offense sucked. The Packers offense wasn't great in that game. You can go down the list. I mean, Miami clearly looks like the worst team in football. Atlanta wasn't very good. Neither, you know, the Bills got the win, but neither them or the Jets were very good in that game. And, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh managed 3 points against New England. So, you know, I mean, I don't think these teams are going to continue to be this bad, except for the Dolphins. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's 1 week, and I know it's tough because there's only 16 games, and a loss really kind of hurts you. But, you know, this is clearly a result of guys not playing in the preseason. You know, I mean, a lot of the mistakes the Browns made, I watched a lot of that game. They had 182 yards in penalties. And a lot of it looked like the fact that guys were just rusty. So, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of one of those odd, you know, odd things. And, you know, we're still going to get, some of that this week. I mean, you know, we're not going to get crisp, clean football for, you know, a few weeks now just because of the way preseason is run now. So, you know, that's just what you're kind of welcome for. And, you know, again, this kind of bodes back to me. I don't understand why the union has such a problem with 18 games, because, you know, basically the first two would just be preseason games like the first two are now. So, yeah, I don't get the difference with it.
Well, and if they added those two games, then they get paid more?
Well, no, because they would eliminate two preseason games.
Oh, you mean they get the same paycheck for staying on the sidelines for games that don't count?
Yes.
So that's stupid.
You know, well, you know, it's prorated like, you know, any job like that. Basically, you're paid over the 20 weeks or the 21 weeks or however it works out, because, you know, everybody gets the bye week. So, you know, you get your check just like, you know, you and I do every Friday. So.
Yeah, if you're a real special guy, you cash that check and try to start a drug cartel.
Right. So, you know, and, you know, like, we'll see how, you know, some of the matchups go this week. I mean, you know, you mentioned how Cam Newton didn't look that great for you last week. He's got the Thursday night game against Tampa Bay, which, you know, they didn't look great either. So we'll see how that goes. Now, humorously, with my good old Uverse, I'm not going to be able to see this game because it's an NFL Network game. I continue to tweet about it, and the only reply I got for them was they reminded me that their service, they carry the NFL Network on one of their other services. And I was like, well, that's great. I have Uverse. Thanks for the help. You're going to put it back on. And they never got back to me. So I continue to tweet it at Uverse, but it looks like I'm done with the NFL Network. I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, maybe there's a streaming option I could find if I want to watch it. But it is Tampa Bay, Carolina, so I'm not really beating down the door for that. You know, I mean, some of the other teams that didn't look great. Like obviously, I think the Bears will look a little better than Denver. You know, at least you would think Denver does have a really good defense. Well, maybe not. But, you know, again, you know, now we're just looking at, you know, it's a lot like baseball where we have all our little things for the fun. You know, I mean, you're sitting here and really it's just week two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I get it. You don't want to come out of a shoot 0-2. And, you know, I mean, just the opposite. I mean, there were some teams that looked really good. I mean, I don't think anybody expected the Raiders to look as good as they did last night against that Bronco defense. I mean, I thought Denver would have one of the best defenses in the league, and the Raiders didn't have too much trouble moving the ball on them. So I would like to think the Bears would have the same success, but, you know, who knows? You know, obviously everybody's excited. We got the Saints and the Rams rematch from – you know, the NFC Championship last year. And honestly, I think that means more to the fans than it does the players. You know, Dan, I mean, Dan, do you even think the players care about that from last year?
No.
So, you know, we'll see. It was kind of humorous how, I don't know if you saw this one, but the Saints had an issue with the refs again last night. They had a 15-second runoff for absolutely no reason. Going into the half, and I mean, luckily the Saints were still able to kick the field goal. But yeah, it was just the weirdest thing. It's starting to get to the point where it almost seems like the refs are about to get the Saints. So, you know, who knows? You know, we'll have to see. But it is being reported. You know, obviously Antonio Brown ended up with the Patriots. I mentioned yesterday that they had a pretty crowded group at wide receiver. Well, now apparently it is down by one, as it's being reported that the Patriots have traded the American Thomas to the Jets. And it just looks like all they're getting back is a 2020 first-round pick. So they're not getting too much for a guy who used to be an all pro, but I guess they gotta thin the position out a little bit with Brown coming in, and I know Thomas didn't play week one, so we'll have to see if, you know, he played this week for the Jets, or, you know, if he can get ready fast enough, and if Brown plays for the Patriots. But obviously, you know, you weren't here yesterday. I didn't get your take on the Antonio Brown thing. How were you feeling about that?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really see any of it until Sunday, and I had no clue what the hell was going on. All I saw was, you know, a picture of a Patriots jersey. And, you know, fortunately, it chronicled the entire timeline for me. So, I mean, the NFL is pretty much mirroring the NBA, kind of. With the way the players are starting to run things. The weirdest thing I saw was someone claiming that, you know, is there going to be a case for collusion? Or not collusion. Yeah, maybe. I forget what the term is for the Patriots meddling in the situation. So,
tampering.
You know, I don't, tampering, there we go. So I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, it was a really odd situation, and, you know, the way it all kind of shook out. Now, are you buying there's a lot of guys who believe that Brown orchestrated this because, well, not so much Brown, but the people around him orchestrated this because they wanted him to be a Patriot all along. Are you, you know, you're the conspiracy guy. Did you buy that one?
You know, I mean, I don't. That one I really don't know, because I didn't know there was any talk. So if he wanted to be a Patriot all along, why the hell did he? Did he get traded to the Raiders?
He got traded.
Yeah, so I mean, I didn't know that there was a Patriot landing spot for him to begin with, or an opportunity for that.
One of those odd situations. I mean, it looked way too orchestrated that it was like, oh, okay, here you go. Guess what? He's a Patriot now. So. Yeah, just, I don't know, just what, you know, just it just seemed really goofy. But yeah, it is kind of odd more and more that the players are just like, well, you know, if I don't get my way, I'm just going to hold out. You know, I'm not going to play. It looks like the NFL is gonna end up on strike when this CBA ends up. How much longer can they stay on top here, Dan? I mean, they're still the number one sport, but they do quite a bit to alienate their fans. How much longer can they stay there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still hear people crying about, I don't watch it because of the Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that one I really don't understand. Because it's not like the NFL could control the guys, you know, kneeling. That was all the network. And that's one of the things that people fail to recognize, is that, you know, the NFL could say what they want, but it was up to the networks who own the rights to film and produce and show the games on TV. It was up to them. So you want to get mad at the NFL, I mean, why aren't you mad at the perpetrators, really, of the whole situation in broadcasting every single week by trying to grab headlines, and that was Fox, that was CBS, that was NBC, that wasn't the NFL. So that one I don't understand. I mean, you know, my father-in-law boycotts them because he's military, you know, because he served for 3 whole years, 1,000 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, but you're from Chicago and you're a Bears fan. And nobody on the Bears team kneels. So, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of it I don't understand. So if you want to boycott it, why don't you boycott the teams that are doing it?
So, yeah, it gets kind of odd when it's like, you know, well, I'm not watching this, I'm not watching that. I know somebody posted on my page about how they haven't watched since the Colin Kaepernick thing. And it's like, well, that's your choice. I mean, if you don't want to watch, that's up to you. I mean, I'm still not watching Cub games because of the way the fans act. And, after this Sunday, I doubt I'll watch any Philadelphia Eagles games after their stupidity. And I did have to make a quick correction. Yesterday when I was talking about that, I was all flustered, and I said the jersey that Mike Scott was wearing was Sean Springs. It was actually Sean Taylor. I was just kind of rolling and angry and just going off. But, yeah, he had a Sean Taylor jersey on, not a Sean Springs jersey. So
I missed that.
I apologize.
He was wearing the wrong jersey.
He got invited to an Eagles tailgate. He plays for the 76ers. He got invited to an Eagles tailgate. They were playing the Redskins, and he showed up in a Sean Taylor Redskins jersey. And he actually ended up in a physical fight with like 4 or 5 Eagles fans that he was in the tent with. So I can't figure out, these jackasses get a professional athlete to come to their tailgate, and then they get upset because he's wearing a jersey from another team. When you realize he's wearing a Sean Taylor jersey, who was a guy who got killed protecting his family during a home invasion. You know, some idiots broke into his house and he was just defending his wife and children and ended up getting killed. So, you know, you think you'd have a little respect for the fact that he's wearing that jersey, but no, you know, they're Eagles fans and they have their reputation to protect as being the biggest assholes in all of sports. So they did that and it ended up in a fight. And, he held his own pretty well against these 4 or 5, you know, morons. But then the camera went off, so I don't know what kind of happened after that. But, yeah, I was just like, well, there you go, Eagles fans. You guys are just so classy. So, I was like, maybe I'm just done with this team.
Or the city.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to introduce another team so that they can really fight each other.
So, yeah, you know, if the team had any Canucks, they would suspend these 4 or 5 guys for life, and they would never allow them to, you know, tailgate or come to games. Because, I mean, you can clearly see who these guys are on film. It wouldn't be hard to find them. I'm sure they're jerking off in the same spot every week, getting drunk and, burning food. So it wouldn't be difficult to run them down. But, you know, they won't. They don't have the Canucks to do it. So, you know, nothing will happen, and it's just another, you know, one more ugly incident in a line of ugly incidents in Philadelphia sports. I mean, you know, it's really sad, but that's how they are, and they want to act that way because they think they're cool. And, you know, that's just how it's going to be.
I'll tell you what, though, the day I go to Philly, I will not go Philly Cubs game. I'll just go as a Philly fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go after, you know, that embarrassment. So, you know, that's just, again, like I said, a huge joke. But then again, you know, that's what they want. You know, they think... You know, I mean, in reality, you know, they should just take the team away from them because obviously they don't deserve to have it. But, you know, it's not like they can really do those kind of things. So, it just gives me another team to root against. That, you know, that's all. You know, then I can laugh at them when they don't win. So, we'll see. But, all right, well, we're coming down to the nitty-gritty here in baseball. Dan, we got about 20 games left. And, you know, we've had a couple of pretty serious injuries for teams that, well, one looks like it's going to get in the playoffs. The other one is hanging on. You know, the Twins announced today that they put Byron Buxton on the 60-day DL. They're going to allow him to have that shoulder surgery. So he's done. You know, his season's over. The other one here locally, of course, Javi Baez breaks his thumb. He's officially done for the rest of the regular season. They say there's an opportunity that he can come back for the postseason. I don't believe it. I think he's done. Both these teams still get in without these guys. Dan, I mean, I know Buxton isn't an offensive force in Minnesota, but he may be the best defensive player in the game. And, you know, obviously Baez is an MVP candidate. The Cubs get in without him, without these guys. The Twins still hang on. The Cubs get in. How's this work?
Sadly, no. I don't think either team gets in. I mean, I think that partly ruined my my fantasy because I have Javi Baez, and then there his quote-unquote backup or second-in-command is, you know, in middle infield running mate who should have been there all season with him. Is out, you know, is day to day now. No, yeah, no, Addison Russell, because I have him on my team too. Go figure. So he's been day to day. They were both out yesterday. I mean, I don't know. You know who? You know, are you going to rely on Nico?
Yeah. Oh, they have no choice. They're out of guys. You know, Daniel Descalzo's done for the year. I don't think Ben Zobrist can play shortstop anymore. So, and let, you know, Chris Bryant is hurt, so you can't move him over there. He just had an injection in his knee. Russell's in the concussion protocol, so hopefully he'll be back soon. Now, you know, the Twins do have a 5-game lead in the division. They can hang on to that, right, even without Buxton?
They should be able to.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it'll bode well. I mean, it looks like they're going to end up – well, no, it's pretty even. So, I don't know how much luck they're going to have against either the Yankees or the Astros. But, you know, hey, at least they're going to get in the playoffs. You know, and what the Cubs are holding on. Right now it looks like they got a 2-game lead on the Brewers with the Diamondbacks 2.5 back. They are 4 behind the Cardinals. So I don't know if they can, you know, I don't know if they can make up that ground. Can they hold those 2 games, Dan, or do they go away and we see Milwaukee, Arizona, or, you know, even Philadelphia or the Mets get that wild card spot?
Ooh, you're killing me. I don't like these predictions, but it's going to be a quick run. I think they possibly hold on to one of them.
Yeah, you know, I guess the question really becomes after that is, say they do hold on, what chance do they have against the Washington team that'll probably have Max Scherzer back at full strength to pitch the wild card game?
That I don't think they have a chance at.
You know, because, you know, it all boils down to, you know, like, you know, building to the end here. You know, we know Joe Maddon is in the last year of his contract. Say they do get into the wild card game and they lose, they get knocked out. He's done, right?
I think either way he's done, but, you know, the problem becomes you get rid of a guy who, you know, has control, and then you're going to get a guy who's going to be controlled. So I don't really know which is better.
You know, I mean, you do have to wonder. Do you think it's possible the Red Sox approached the Cubs about buying Theo Epstein out and bringing him back as their president of baseball operations?
I think they'd be crazy to do that. He walked away from them twice.
Yeah, you know, but they, you know, that seems to be what they're looking for. I mean, I thought it was really funny when everybody was talking about how surprised they were that they, you know, the Red Sox made a change. I you know, I wasn't shocked at all. I didn't expect them to fire Alex Cora, but you knew somebody was going to go. So if you're not going to can Cora, obviously you're going to can somebody in the front office. This was no shock to me at all. I mean, the team's been, you know, underperforming all year. They've signed so many big contracts that they may not be able to keep some star players. You know, Mookie Betts in particular. I mean, honestly, I think their best hope is that J.D. Martinez opts out so they get some extra inflow, you know, cash inflow, so they can sign Betts before he hits free agency. Because once he hits free agency, he's not coming back to Boston. You know, somebody's going to throw $300 million at him, and the Red Sox can't match that. Now, were you surprised they made a change at the top like that? Oh, no, did we kill Dan? I didn't hear him say it was going on break, but, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. We did have one game start already. It's I believe it's the Yankees and the Tigers, and the Yankees are quickly out to a 4-0 lead. So there you go. And they do have a YouTube game tonight. I've never actually watched a game on YouTube, but they have Indians Angels tonight is the YouTube game. And then if you're looking for free games on the MLB app, it's the Dodgers at the Orioles. So you can check all that out if you would like and see how that goes. But yeah, just kind of you know, kind of how that goes. So you know, lots of you know you got to give baseball credit. They find ways to get stuff out, you know, to their fans, you know, one way or the other with technology now. You know, I don't know. I know the NFL has had games on Twitter. I don't think baseball has. But, you know, I know they do have, you know, they have Facebook games. So we'll have to see. But you can find a bunch of ways to hunt these things down if you're looking to watch a game.
I swear baseball did an experiment with games on Twitter, but I don't know. I mean, it's not the easiest option to really, you know, grab those games because I don't remember the process. I mean, it was cool because you could, like, if you were on your phone, you would be able to watch it, and then you know, if you had it upright instead of sideways. You could watch the game and then see, you know, everyone's comments going live pretty much. But I don't know. I mean, baseball's tried that experiment last summer, and I tried to tune into some of those games on Facebook, you know, where they used their own special, not their own special, but they had Facebook announcers. How do I say this? You know, it was an MLB game, obviously. But the broadcast wasn't any team that we're used to seeing from, you know, Fox or any of the networks or anything like that. The thing I did think was cool about it was they had that's who it was. The one thing I did like about it was they had pretty much a media guy. So he was kind of, you know, your Matt Bashkirjian on Sunday night. But then they had a guy that kind of more or less represented each team. You know, let's just say it was the Braves and the Phillies. I don't know. Let's just say Tom Glavine and Charlie Morton, because he played there. I don't know. You know, that was kind of the cool thing. They had some guys from the 80s, 90s that played for each of those teams and kind of went back and forth. But, and then they would pick an inning and answer questions. But, I don't know, in the end, I think it was – too much and didn't really pan out the way they wanted to, as interactive as it could have been. You know, the player, the fans really don't, no offense to the old guys, but the fans that are going to be watching it on Facebook or social media aren't really all up on, you know, the Tom Glavins and those guys, the 90s stars, as they want to be able to get a response from Mike Trout, so to speak, who, forgot to mention, wasn't playing on Sunday against the White Sox, so I was a little disappointed sitting out there in the outfield. I think they keep trying to do things. I think your best option, though, is is YouTube. You know, if you subscribe to YouTube TV and catching the games on there, because, you know, they're not trying to do a whole lot of extra. But the other one I was going to throw out there, and I think this one died pretty quickly, Big Jack, was the Amazon Analytics games. You remember, it was ESPN that did, you know, the regular channel was, you know, Sunday Night Crew, and then ESPN2 or whatever was the analytics channel, and God, that was just atrocious.
Yeah, well, you know, they had to come up with something.
Yeah, it just didn't work. But your question on I was definitely surprised that they kind of went after the president as opposed to the GM. But the non-firing of Alex Cora, what does that say to you other than, from what I understood was the president who was fired didn't really have a whole lot of friends or connections, you know, kind of a deep friendship with everyone in the league or in that front office. So that kind of did him not so well.
Yeah. I give them credit for trying, you know, they're trying to get, you know, their games to the masses. So not everything is going to be a hit. And, you know, obviously some of them weren't.
Yeah. I think this month of baseball is a little stale and everyone kind of picks up on football until playoffs hits. So, you know, for the local fans, for the wild card runners, those are the ones that are going to kind of stay tuned. And just like me with the Cubs, even though being out in San Diego right now is kind of hard to watch. The game doesn't start till after 9. But, you know, that you can't do anything about that except laugh at the fact that, and here's what just cracked me up listening to last night's game. I did watch a Manny Machado at bat that was just ended up being a pop out. And what's his name talked about how, they expect this team to be really, really good in the next year or two. So it was the Cubs announcer, and he's kind of being, I don't know if he's being sarcastic or not, but it just kind of cracked me up that all that hype behind Manny Machado's free agency last year, and he pretty much ended up signing to a team that was, what would you say, a step or two up above Baltimore?
Yeah,
I don't
definitely ahead of Baltimore, but yeah.
I mean, I just because you sign Manny Machado and you have a slew of pitchers that just really aren't, you know, at the top of the game, I mean, when do you anticipate a championship team there? Or were they just doing a kind of a Jim Hendry thing where you sign a name to hold over your fan base for the next few years while you try to figure out what the hell you're going to do, which has been kind of the MO of the Padres over the last 5 years. Just, well, let's sign some names and see what sticks, and then we'll blow it all up again a year and a half later. But I don't know, I guess you forget about San Diego being in the Midwest and then the fact that they don't get any attraction, you know, media attention. And then when you get to see them, you're like, when are they going to be good? When are they going to do something? When are they going to be a threat in the NL West?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, not only is it a tough division, but they're banking on the one thing that is very difficult to bank on when you rebuild, and that's young pitching. You know, they're going with their young guys that they drafted and they've tried to develop. And when you look at the teams, I mean, we specifically look at the Cubs and the Astros when we talk about this, and I don't believe either of them have a pitcher that came through their system in the starting rotation regularly. I know Houston has used a couple because of injury, but, you know, I mean, it's Verlander, Gerrit Cole. They traded for Zach Greinke. They signed Wade Miley. And, you know, I'm not quite sure who the fifth guy has been the majority of the time. You know, if Lance McCullers Jr. could ever stay healthy, he was a guy they drafted and developed. But, you know, he's out all year and he's due back for next year. The Cubs have nobody in their rotation that came through their minor league system. Kyle Hendricks pitched at AAA, but he spent the majority of his development with the Rangers. So that doesn't count. You know, everybody else was traded or signed for. The Reds started to do it the way the Padres did and then gave up on it, and they went out and they traded for a couple of veterans in the offseason, and then they went and got your guy, oh, God, why am I drawing a blank? Trevor Bauer, at the deadline. So, I think they realized their mistake. We'll see. I mean, you know, San Diego has all these guys. I mean, all these pitchers are rated really high, but that doesn't always translate to major league success. I mean, we've seen it time and time again with pitchers.
No, and, you know, and how can you – I don't know. It's, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, the era that I watched, that I grew up watching, the era that you grew up watching – I mean, we watched teams have 4 to 5 starting pitchers that were 5 different guys.
Yeah.
You didn't have 5 of the same guy who could only go 4 innings, and it's not because of them. I wish I remember what game I was watching. In the last couple of weeks, it was a local broadcast, so it was on MLB.TV. You know, and it was like they were, you know, it was actually when I was in Minnesota last week, I was watching the Twins, and I forget who was pitching. It was obviously the Twins pitcher, and they're like, you know, they're trying to get into the head of the pitcher, and they're going, you know, what are you thinking when you're a starting pitcher and it's the 4th inning and you're at 82 pitches? You've given up no runs. You've struck out 6 guys. You've walked 2, whatever, you gave up a couple hits. But you're in the 4th inning, and you've thrown 80 pitches. Now all you're thinking about is the fact that, well, I'm done after next inning because of that hard 100-pitch number, which is a complete joke. Especially for a team like the Twins, when you're getting ready to roll into the postseason. I get it. Maybe you're going to preserve a guy – in, you know, April when the weather's crappy, you know, kind of take them out a little early in those months. I am not forgivable for the 5-inning crap, but maybe you'll preserve them if there's a lead and things like that in the early season. But now we're prepping for the postseason where you want these guys to go a little bit longer than an inning and a third, which seems to be what happens to a lot of these pitchers coming into the postseason. So now you're getting taken out in the 5th inning simply because you threw 100 pitches. And do you even finish the 5th inning? Because you walked one guy. Or because you had one batter who fouled off 7 pitches.
Well, you know, I did watch Dylan Cease's last outing, and I get the fact that he's a big-time prospect, but he was at the 66th pitch mark through 3 innings, and he had walked 5 guys, so I think he needed to come out of the game. So,
yeah. Well, that was Sunday. You were watching on Sunday,
yeah,
or you watched last week?
Yeah. Whenever, I don't remember when he pitched last, but, you know, I was kind of bouncing around and checking it out, and I had it on, and I was like, wow, 66 pitches through 3 innings? Yeah, he's done. I do think he went out for the 4th, though. I think he got through 4. But, yeah, he was just all over the place. And, you know, like I said, I get that he's a prospect, but, man, he doesn't look like he's ready to be here yet.
No. Yeah, he really hasn't since they brought him up. So
yeah, I think he said 1 week to start. So.
Yeah. But, you know, luckily for them, they picked up Osich, who I think went 2 or 3 more innings. The Sox did get the win on Sunday. But, I mean, no surprise. The Angels pitcher was just throwing batting practice for them. So that was fun.
Yeah, well, I know the starter for the Angels was almost just as bad. I know he was the opener but he was terrible. And then the guy they brought in couldn't throw strikes either. So, yeah. I mean, it was just a poorly pitched game by, you know, well, once the Sox bullpen got in, it got a little better for them. But, I mean, the first three guys I saw pitch were just terrible. So.
I don't know, but, you know, kind of going back to it, I mean, how can you judge pitching anymore when, how can you judge, but the way they judge pitching is, well, this kid's 19 and he throws 93. So that means by the time he's 21, he's going to throw 107. And then BFD, you know, how much control does he have? You know, you throw 107 miles an hour, you're only going to be able to last five innings because your arm's dead by the fourth inning. Instead of using your brain. I'll never see another Greg Miller.
You know, that seems to be the thing now is, you know, everybody's looking for those power arms. And, you know, that's fine if you want to fill your bullpen up with power arms, you know, because those guys are only asked to go an inning or two or, you know, in some cases a batter or two, at least for this year. Next year they won't be able to do that. But, yeah, I mean, when you're looking for a starter, you've got to find a guy who can, you know, A, throw strikes and B, get people out. So, you know, I think you would kind of, you know, and I understand they need some velocity. I mean, you can't have a guy out there throwing 70 miles an hour. You know, I mean, you've got to get guys that are in the, you know, high 80s, low 90s when you're looking for stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you need a starting pitcher that throws 100 every time he lets a fastball go.
No, and, you know, and I'm not trying to knock Jake Arrieta, but, you know, that was – obviously we know he had the – I think it was the bone spurs or chips, whatever it is. So he was done. He needed to be done way before he decided to shut himself down or the team, whatever.
Yeah.
But do you think that was part of the problem was as his velocity started to fall, he tried to focus – or not maybe just him, but the pitching coaches, the staff he's worked with, still try to focus on him being this high-velocity pitcher as opposed to a guy who can pitch? Because I say what you want, but that time period from no-hitter to no-hitter, he looked to me like a pitcher. He didn't look to me like a guy who just threw fast, hard balls. He was hitting his spots. He was on. He was focused. He was amazing. And then, you know, whatever happened, he declined. I mean, do you think that's, and, you know, obviously you can't get into his brain and you can't tell me what he's thinking. But from what you see, do you think that's part of the issue? Is that the whole everything around them, players like he, kind of get trapped into this, I got to throw 100 plus miles an hour? Otherwise I don't count?
You do wonder, but, you know, he was never really, you know, even a early 90s type of guy. So I don't think that had that effect on him. I think the biggest problem maybe you've got to wonder how long he's been pitching with this elbow issue, because obviously his best pitch is that slider. And when you're having problems with your elbow, that's the pitch that's going to be affected the most. So you wonder, you know, and obviously, you know, they're not going to blame it on injury or anything, and he's not. So you have to wonder how much it really affected him that he's not letting on, you know, I mean, if he can come back healthy next year, you know, maybe we'll see if he's never going to be the Jake Arrieta that won the Cy Young with the Cubs. That year was an anomaly. You know, that was a year that pitchers would love to have, but, you know, we'll have to see if he's 100% healthy, if maybe he can get close again.
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't see any more knuckleball experiments happening anytime soon, so.
Well. Thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. But remember, podcast is available to listen to anytime you want at
sportsnetradio.com.